Stephen, I'm sure that the Assembly would have been told the departments, all of the departments' waiting time targets for the year, including elective care.
Okay. So what is the message to people? Because this is what's important, Michael, and it's what this programme is set up for. The ordinary punter in the street. That's what we're about. What's the message to them if they've been sitting on a waiting list and they're still on one?
Well, certainly I would say at the outset it's unacceptable, Stephen, and I wouldn't try to justify it. And I and staff right across health and social care recognise the impact it has on patients. We've got to be careful talking about numbers because we risk seeing behind it all of the individuals whose lives are affected on a day-to-day basis. And we all know people in that circumstance. Yeah. I'm a service user and I'm a family member, the same as everybody else who's listening to your show. So we all know people who are affected by that. So we recognise that and very much regret it. What I would say to them is now more than certainly any time that I'm aware of, there really is an agreement that this position is unsustainable and it must change. And therefore, I am confident that the plan that we look forward to the Minister bringing forward in January will deliver sustainable
improvement. Do you know what that plan
is? But it will take time. Well, the Minister has indicated herself in the document some key elements, for example.
Yeah, but has she shared the total plan with you yet?
The Board is working with the Department in relation to
is that a yes?
Moving that plan forward. We're working closely with the Department to bring that plan
forward.
Has
she shared the plan with you?
That plan is in development. The Minister has said she will publish a plan.
It's in development?
The Minister said she'll bring forward...
This is the 25th of November.
And she said she'll bring forward a plan in January.
So it's not finished
with
yet.
Proposals. Well, the Minister's also made very clear from her announcement on 25th of October her commitment to co-production with service users.
Right, okay.
If it was sitting on the shelf, yeah, ready to be implemented, Stephen, that wouldn't reflect meaningful engagement or co-production.
I don't want to get caught up in this because I do want to look at how this is impacting on people's lives. But can you understand why I'm confused? When you, and you're a senior person within the Health and Social Care Board, you're telling me the plan is in development. The Minister is telling me the plan is totally costed.
I think you're talking about two different things, Stephen. I'm talking about the plan that the Minister said. It's the first action out of 18 in the document that you were speaking to her about on the 25th of October. There were 18 actions at the end, yeah, of that, of things she will do in the first year.
How can a plan be fully costed? Presumably a plan would include waiting lists.
The first
it's
action
fully
is to
costed
bring forward
and you're
a
telling
plan.
Me it's still in development. There's something not right.
There are a range of measures that will need to be included in that plan of how patients are more appropriately and safely managed in other settings, reducing the demand on secondary care.
Okay.
Those are the types of things, as well as things the Minister's outlined, the establishment of elective care centres. They will make a real difference. Some of these things aren't about money. Some of these things are about how we organise services
and
differently.
That's what I want to talk about. Before we do so, what's the longest time someone's waiting in Northern Ireland?
I don't have with me the longest time anybody's waiting. They're across five trusts, across many specialties in each trust. What I can tell you, there are almost 40,000 people waiting over a year for a first outpatient appointment, and there are 7,700 people waiting over a year for treatment.
Imagine waiting over a year for treatment.
I understand how difficult that is for those patients, the impact it has in their day-to-day lives. Your programme and others, indeed, in the last day or so, have highlighted some of those. And I'm very aware of the impact that has on those individuals.
And that's where it comes down to a class system in Northern Ireland, doesn't it? That if you've got money, those people could be seen privately, very, very quickly, often by trained consultants who've been trained by the NHS. And if you don't have money, you sit for over a year. And by the way, we've heard from people 18 months, 19 months.
Yes, yes. Those are 40,000 over a year for assessment. Yeah. There will be some people within that are waiting considerably longer.
Yeah. And by the way, that's to be assessed and then you go under the queue to be treated. So if you've waited a year to be assessed, then add on how long you will wait to be treated.
Which highlights the reason, again, the need for change. One of the other things the Minister said in that document that she's committed to are the establishment of ambulatory assessment and treatment centres. What that means in simple terms, instead of you going to your GP to be referred for an outpatient and wait, to need a diagnostic and wait, to need treatment and wait, those centres that the Minister has indicated a commitment to establishing will be one-stop shops, that for some less complex procedures, you can go and be assessed, diagnosed and treated in the one day.
And that is what I want to now let you talk about,
okay?
The bigger plan. Just before I do so, is there any positive message, is there any hope whatsoever before Christmas for people who are sitting on waiting lists? Because again, that's reality for them. They're waiting for a letter to arrive through their door to say, now I'm being treated. So for any of those people who have been waiting over a year for treatment, is there any initiative from this government, from the Health and Social Care Board or this executive, to say to the thousands of those people, okay, we know that's acceptable, we are prioritising you specifically. Is there anything being done for them?
There, trusts are prioritising the patients of greatest clinical need. £8 million has been allocated to trusts this year to undertake additional activity in evenings and weekend at patients who are waiting the longest and in greatest clinical need. But let's not lose sight, Stephen. All of these patients...
Is all that money already spent?
No.
So there is some hope for the thousands of people on waiting specific help.
Everybody who's on this waiting list, the health service are seeing thousands of people every week.
I get that, but
half
for those,
a million outpatients a year are seen.
I get that, but for those people waiting over a year, Michael, is there any hope for them? Have they been targeted to be a priority?
Some of them will benefit from that very modest sum of additional funding.
The question is, have they been targeted to be a priority?
Trusts are targeting, they are targeting that funding at the patients who, in their view, are in the greatest clinical need, including those of the longest waiting
times.
And
you said some 7,000 people, is that
7,000 people are waiting longer than a year.
How many of those do you speculate will be seen before the end of the
year? I could not speculate on that, Stephen, because these are clinical decisions. Trusts are rightly working with their clinicians to target that additional activity at where it has greatest need for patients.
But surely you could... Just explain this to me. I understand what a clinical decision is. So it's based on the most need, given the illness they have. But if they're also being targeted because of the amount of time they've been waiting, if that's part of the criteria, surely you must know, therefore, if that's part of the criteria, how many people you'll be able to see.
It's only to the extent that the length of time they've been waiting is an impact on their clinical need. The priority is clinical need. And while I appreciate this is a very difficult thing for people to understand when they're in the position of waiting for a long time, but trusts are seeing the greatest clinical need earlier. Therefore, the patients that are waiting longer, and I accept the impact it has in the day-to-day life, and they may be in pain and discomfort, but from a clinical need, from a safety point of view, they would have less clinical urgency than the patients that are being targeted and prioritised by trusts.
Is there anyone on those... Does logic then follow that for any of those people on a waiting list, the 7,000-odd people on a waiting list for more than a year, that none of their lives would be in danger? Does that follow?
We look to trust to continually review the patients who are waiting, assess them and prioritise patients in clinical need.
So does that follow?
I can't discuss, I can't comment on individual patients and individual
specialties. It's not individual when I say the 7,000. I'm asking a layman's question.
Trust should be prioritising the patients in those waiting
lists.
So
none of their lives should be in danger, Michael, right?
That should be what should be happening.
Okay, bigger plan. Tell me then, because what you're essentially saying is, look, long term, give us a chance here, give us room, we all care. I'm not suggesting, in fact, I'll say it out loud, Health and Social Care Board care as much as I do, as much as anybody else does. You're human beings, you live in this society, we're putting you under pressure, of course you care. And of course the executive cares. There's no doubt about that. So what you're asking for here is time to change the way everything is done. Is that correct? And what are the big headlines?
That is the only sustainable solution,
Stephen. So what are the big headline solutions?
The Minister has outlined a couple of those in her document. One is the establishment of elective care centres. So if I can try to explain that as simply as I can. Currently, all patients, when they are referred in, they're going to, in most cases, their local hospital, in some cases, the tertiary centres. Those are busy hospitals that are dealing with emergency cases at the same time, and trusts have got to try to balance between seeing planned patients and the unscheduled, the unexpected, the emergency patients. So the idea of elective care centres is to take out a high volume of the lower complex patients from those hospitals and have that work carried out in other centres that are not going to be affected by emergencies, can plan their work more effectively, can be more productive, will see patients quicker. It is a better use of resources. And that's one.
Okay, and will that kick in January? Or just be announced in January?
Well, the Minister has already announced in Delivering Together, one of the actions, there was 18 actions that I referred to, she has said that she will bring forward details on the number of those to be established and the locations of them within the first 12 months.
Yeah, but I get, okay, so that'll happen next year sometime.
Yes.
What's the other big solution to this, Michael?
The other issue that the Minister has identified or has included in that document are those one-stop shop clinics that I mentioned. So let's break this pathway. Let's break the traditional cycle of in sequence GP, outpatient, diagnostic, perhaps a few review outpatients and treatment. And let's get people to the right place, assess, diagnose and treat in one day. But the other that cuts across everything the Minister said in her document is to do things very differently. Greater level of care being able to be provided within the community and particularly within primary care. So that's by people's own GPs. We already have a number of examples of really exciting, innovative practice where groups of GPs are getting together, where individual GPs within that will have a specialist interest in an area. It could be dermatology, it could be urology, it could be ENT, and they share that expertise between them to more appropriately manage patients within primary care. We've also got examples of where GPs are now able to refer to secondary care, to trust, to a hospital consultant for advice. In the past, and still the majority of patients are experiencing the traditional approach of having to wait until the consultant can see. In many cases, by simply getting advice from a secondary care consultant, the GP can continue to manage that patient safely. So it's rolling out those sorts of initiatives that they become the experience for the majority of patients, not, as it currently is, in a small number of more innovative areas of practice.
And I get what you're saying. I know your people are saying you need to go, but I want to give you a chance to spell out what you came here to talk about today. So maybe just a couple more minutes. So essentially what you're saying to the public this morning is, look, the whole way that this needs to be done needs to change.
Yes.
Does money come in? Presumably money also comes into this.
It does.
So are you confident in your discussions with the Minister that you're going to get the amount of money you need for this plan next year? Because that will be hard choices for government to make, for the executive to make.
It will indeed.
And the public will therefore be feeling that pain, so to speak, elsewhere, because that's the way it works. It'll yes. have to come from somewhere. Can you give me a sense of how much extra money we would need to do this?
Well, until such times as that elective plan that the Minister has indicated she'll bring forward in January is finalised, involves the necessary engagement with service users, with clinicians that the Minister's committed to, I can't give a sense of what that
would
be.
Are we talking about hundreds of millions?
Well, what I can say, Stephen, is if we go back 2 or 3, 4 years ago, whenever waiting times were in control, as in they weren't getting longer, they were coming down, but not at the pace they needed to be, but they were improving. There was in the region of £85 to £90 million of additional funding being spent each year. That money is no longer available. So it's in that sort of order is needed to maintain the position and indeed more to improve upon.
Yeah, so
it's in that order.
Right, so we don't just want to maintain it, we want to improve it.
And some of that will be through how the system is
organised. So are we talking
about... It's not all about money.
Right, because, yeah, but some of it is.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's a very important discussion, actually, for the public to engage in, because where does that money come from, et cetera, et cetera. So are we talking about needing to find, Michael, a couple of £100 million next year?
All I can say, Stephen, is to deliver the volume of activity that was necessary up to 2 or 3 years ago was requiring £85 to £90 million more than we currently have. That's the order. We need to wait and see the Minister until the Minister finalises and bring forward the plan for elective care to see the individual elements of that, the total cost of it will
be. And in January, just again to nail this, in January when the Minister brings forward that plan, because of course she brought forward a plan in October. So when she brings forward this next...
The specific plan in January is about elective.
When she brings forward this specific plan, this next plan in January, does it start in January?
I'm sure the Minister will have early and immediate actions within that to be introduced, but she's made clear...
Is that a yes? Does it start in January?
Well, she's made clear that transforming this will take time. In fact, she said it will take 10 years.
Yeah, but this, it'll take time to roll out, but does it start in January?
I expect it will start fairly soon after it is published. I expect those actions, the things that can be done, will start very soon after that plan is published. But we need to be very clear, Stephen, that setting out a plan and a good plan with a clear direction of travel, what needs to be done, that even if the funding was immediately available for that plan, lots of the key elements we need are not. The staff, there are already with the funding we have in some specialties, there are a number of vacancies that we're having great difficulty in filling. There are staffing challenges, there are physical challenges in terms of theatre capacity. Those things take time to build. Other things...
How much time? Because let's get this on the table now. So you see, this is my point, and nobody's fault, you might argue. So the minister publishes her next plan, because we did have a plan in October, her vision, as she called it. So she now publishes a plan in January, but in the likes of recruiting those staff and things, how long to do that? Are we trying to find those people now?
It depends. In different specialties take longer depending on the availability of staff. Some will be able to recruit reasonably quickly. Others take longer. The minister has also in...
But are we trying to recruit now?
We are trying to recruit in many specialties now.
And we can't find those people? Why not?
In some we can, and in some there's difficulties.
And explain to me why it's difficult to find people.
Because in some specialties there are national... shortages. Radiology, if we take radiology for example, there are radiology shortages right across the UK and further afield. There are huge efforts going on for international recruitment, particularly
in
nursing,
but also
in other areas.
So what are we going to do? Have we any idea how to fill those places that we can't fill now?
As part of the Minister's announcement in October in Delivering Together, she's also given a commitment to bringing forward a workforce strategy during next year to address the future workforce needs right across health and social care. In GPs, where we know there are difficulties, in nursing and...
Hold on. You see, she's bringing forward a strategy next year.
So that's to address our long-term workforce needs.
But that's where alarm bells ring with me, because her vision was in October of this year. The plan is being delivered in January. So my expectation is that, it starts in January.
I think, Stephen, it is...
And I know she's got a 10-year plan, but does the strategy actually start to try to recruit those people, or is it just going to be a workforce talking shop?
Stephen, it's important to distinguish between the October document and January. October was setting out the minister's vision right across health and social care. The plan that she's talking about bringing forward and committed to bring forward in January is specifically about what I was here to talk about today, waiting lists. There are lots of other things within it. Okay. So the priority the minister's affording to waiting lists is clear. It is the first action in her 18.
I get that, but finding radiologists will help improve waiting lists. It's all joined together.
And trusts have been trying over the last number of years to have been recruiting radiologists, but not to the extent we need to fill vacancies.
Okay.
That will take time.
What's your final message to the public this morning?
My final message is that I and everyone working in health and social care are committed to improving services for patients. We are very mindful that the current service in relation to waiting times is unacceptable. People are waiting too long and we apologise for that. But it's important that we work together and with the public, with service users, with elected representatives to deliver services in a new way. It will take time. But with the will and with the necessary resources, I'm confident improvements can be made.
Final question. I mentioned earlier that lots of you are part, obviously, you're part of who we are in Northern Ireland. You know, you're not an alien species, for goodness sake. How frustrating is this when you're trying to do a decent job and, you know, there's the pressure and there are the headlines that you're feeling? And I'm not saying you are feeling, but you see those headlines. What's it like?
I came into health and social care along with everybody else, and I'm not a clinician, so certainly the clinicians who did this is even more so. I came into health and social care to make a difference and to help people. It is frustrating when we see waiting times increase the extent we're at. That is why we need a clear plan, we need to all get behind it, we need to resource it, and we need to make it happen.
And this is my final question. You're confident they'll go down next year? You're confident they'll improve next year?
The implementing the types of reform that the minister has outlined and that will be needed in that plan take time, Stephen. There are no switches that can be turned on.
But my question is specific. Are you confident that waiting lists will go down next year, at any time next year? Confident they'll be better than they are now?
From now to the end of March 17, they will not get better. From now, and we've already discussed from now to
before
December,
2018,
and from now to the end of March.
Michael, are you confident
during,
they'll go down?
During 2017-18, so during next year, beginning in April, I would expect those waiting times to start to come down.
No, my yes. question is, from where they are now, this time next year, if you're back here next, essentially, December, it's the end of November now, are you confident they'll be below where they're at now?
Can't expect me to answer that exactly, Stephen. They're going to increase between now and next March. Yep.
And this is my point about no money being put in now.
Nothing can be done about that between now
and next March. Well, yes, it could. They could have found money and they haven't found a penny of money to inject now.
And with the amount of time that it takes to target that money appropriately at the right patients and organise the additional work, there is a limited amount to be done between now.
So are you not confident that there'll be any... They might be higher than they are now. Is that where we're at?
Between now and March 17,
my question is about next December. This time next year.
Get higher. From then until next December, I would very much expect waiting times to improve.
But sorry,
by then.
If they go down from next March, they might only be back to where we are now. That's why my question is, are you confident they'll be lower than they are as we sit here today?
And Stephen, what we need to get on to is a steady, sustained improvement. And if they start from April 17 to improve and by December they're continuing to improve, if that's the journey we're on, that's where we need to be. It'll take time. And as long as we're in the journey to improve, I'll be content we're moving in the right direction.
Okay. Thanks so much for spending so much time with us today.
Thank you.